lampstands of gold, according to their form, and set them in the temple, five on the right hand, five on the left. Let's see how everybody does in a quiz. How many remember another scripture like this? Yes.
10 virgins.
Uh-huh. Okay. So now turn in the temple, Matthew 25:1. Now turn, and you'll see these 10 virgins in the book of Matthew. 10 virgins in the book of Matthew, 25th chapter. So, let's see, 25. All right. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Virgins is someone that has become a Christian, is someone that's a Christian. But these virgins were divided into five that were wise and five that were foolish. And just so happens, a lot of this relates to my own life. But the five wise ones were different than the five foolish ones. But there's only 10. So these 10 virgins were both Christians, both born again. Chair 4. Everybody say chair 4.
Chair
4. So since chair 4 is being born regenerated of the Spirit, you were born of the Spirit. You've been regenerated. You are no longer tied to this world. You have made a complete break with this world so that you can now serve Jesus Christ. And five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. The foolish ones were those that were Christian, but they never moved from chair 4 to chair 5. They never did, so they could never arrive at chair 6. So they were believers, but they never grew. They never succeeded because they were lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said that he spews you out of your mouth. That means they have two agendas. You cannot teach people that have their own agenda. Cannot. It's impossible. So what he means is, I can't speak with you because you're not one of mine. Even though they're virgin. Even though they're wise, I'm foolish. They are Christians. And they feel like being a Christian, half in the world, half in the kingdom of God, that's okay. That it's okay. As a matter of fact, they feel tremendously confident that because they're lukewarm, they can get along with anybody. They got eternity all settled. They got time all settled. They can sin all they want. They can believe homosexuality is okay, even though it's in the Bible. Even though it's in the Bible. And tons of things are in the Bible that they just compromise on. They're carnal. They're confused. And they don't care, because they're Christian. If you try to teach them, they're unteachable, because they have an agenda of their own to take care of themselves as well as to worship God. So they go to church. As a matter of fact, they outnumber the hot. They outnumber those that are wise. And so, does anyone want me to keep going? So, I've probably been too transparent. The wise ones were wise because they had two things going for them, whereas the others didn't. Their wisdom is that even though they're born again, they never really had an intimate relationship with the Lord God. They never really wholeheartedly, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your strength, ever fell in love with Jesus. Since you are at chair four and you've repented of this world, so theoretically, you're a Christian because you don't believe in this world. You believe that everything here is ephemeral. Everything here is just temporal. Everything here is lukewarm. I mean, it's nothing to you that I'm a Christian. My grandmother was a Methodist. And her mother before her, they were all Methodists. So how many know that it's kind of like it's a cultural thing? It's a cultural thing. So many Christians are just cultural. They are nominal. Nominal means you have the name of being Christian, but you're not Christian. You're not Christian. Even though you can't tell. You cannot tell until the end of time. We're there. We're there at the end. We're there at the end. And so at the end, it's real easy to tell the difference between wheat and weeds or tares or poisonous weeds that if you ate that, it would destroy your body. It's poison. But they both grow up together when they're young. They both grow up together. And as they grow, this one is green, this one's green. This one shoots up, this one shoots up. So they're growing all together in the field. This changed my life, but I'm just telling you right now, it was staggering to me. It wouldn't be to anybody else, but it was to me. It changed my life forever. So the weeds grow up until the end of the world. We're there. We're already at the end of the world. We're very close to the Antichrist, the devil guy, the bad guy, the lawless one, etc. He has lots of names. We're very close to him appearing on the scene, and lots of Christians are nervous, but I'll tell you, a lot of worldly people are nervous about what's wrong with the world? It's crazy. Have you noticed? I mean, things are crazy, and it's becoming clearer that there's a difference between a weed and wheat. The wheat is very nutritious, very good for you, and it grows up, and here's how it grows up. First of all, it turns, instead of green, it turns yellow, tan. And this is what happens when it goes all the way up, it bows down its head this way. The wheat, the waving wheat, it's real obvious because it bows its head over. It's never straight up. It was when it was young, but now it's completely different color. And it's real easy to tell because the weed, it's still green and it just keeps going. And so Jesus, as you know, said to them, the master didn't, are we correct? Did you not sow good seed into your field? But somehow it has this darnel or zizania, whatever the word is. It has this poisonous stuff, and it's very hard to tell the difference. It's very hard. But if you wish, we can come in and root out all the bad stuff. Get rid of all the bad people. How many know there's some bad people today? coming over the border. They're doing all kinds of things, but they're everywhere. And they have lots of agendas. And they are about to be dominant here in America. Not just, you know, from Mexico. They're all over the world. They come in, flood in. And they're about to be dominating and with their religions with them. Now, that's okay. That's no big deal. It's just the Bible says, Revelation 18:4, when you see that the harlot, the whore, pull away from her. Don't stay among her. Come out from the midst of her, my people. So if you're one of the people of God, you'll have ears to hear. Whoa, I'm not going to be part of that. And this is why in 1980, on May 12th, something happened catastrophic. This big mountain on the West Coast blew up. It was a Sunday. I remember it vividly. Because God said to me that day, out loud, I heard it, my church will not be built on sand. Now, I was one of those foolish virgins. I probably wasn't a Christian at all. I just liked it because it's an easy job. You just preach for, you know, 20, 30 minutes and people are satisfied and they pay you. It's like going to school all over again. So it was great and I loved it. I ate it up, seriously. And I knew nobody in the church because one day I stood up and said, I'm not a Christian, never have been, probably never will be. And just thought, give you a warning. If you're here and you want the real thing, ain't going to come from me. I just read you stuff that I've read in the past, and I'm good at it. I'm a good storyteller, but the truth is, I'm phony, fake, liar. Always have been, always will be. Because you can't change yourself. If you find you're a liar, how many here have lied? I didn't really want you to raise your hand. How many here are liars? Because you know you're foolish. You're not wise. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost. And I knew I wasn't. And so I knew at that time lots of people were coming into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I despised that. I didn't want that. That was sophisticated as I am, learned as I am. I don't want that kind of junky stuff. That's sideshow. I'm not going to buy that. And so when I saw people falling for that, I knew, I don't want that. Well, what happens to my Yale degree? What's happened to all my background? I'm not going to cheapen myself that way. This is the truth, what I actually felt and thought. So I was a total pagan, total 100% pagan, even though I was a minister. How many know ministers sometimes can be unbelievers? Well, they can. And I was, no apology for it. If somebody caught me, I just, well, that's the way it is. There's sin in the church. You know, there's not only sin out there in the world, there's sin in the church. How many know lots of sinners are pastors? I just thought I'd mention that. Lots of pastors have ego problems. They're gods. Lots of them are alcoholics. Not as many as the Catholic Church can produce. Because there you have to drink the wine after it's all over. And they become soused by the time they're done with that thing. Woo. And I'm making it up. But the truth is, lots of Episcopalians, blah, blah, blah. And I was a Lutheran. And we also, it was kind of a debate in the church. Should you drink the whole wine because you don't want a mouse to get it? Because that's the body of Christ. You dedicated it. And so I didn't really care what the answer was. But I don't think I want to get soused. I don't want to do that. And so, but other people would pour it out on rocks and so on and so forth. People have various ways of disposing of it. But I was completely a pagan. I knew I was always a pagan. I was always, you know, I knew all during college and so on and so forth. You know, I didn't believe in Jesus. And some of you have that kind of background that even though you're a churchgoer, you know, you go to church, you're not really a Christian, not with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't even want that thing. I don't want that. That's sideshow. I don't want that. I want the main event. Beyond the elephants. I want to see the whole deal. And so, just one day I got up and said, by the way, I'm not a Christian. I'm a phony. I'm a fake. I'm a liar. I always have been and I always will be. I don't plan on changing. So if you want to leave, I got a list of churches you could go to that you'll be very happy because you're not really a Christian anyway. You're just outward. It's just outward. It's an outward display. Now, how many know that we live in a post-Christian, post-modern, post-whatever world where Christians are rarer and rarer? Every denomination, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, every has lost 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 million followers in the last 20, 25 years. Easy. So it doesn't matter if it's even Southern Baptist or what it is, they lose members. And if they don't have an aggressive evangelism team, it looks like you're losing members even though you just went out and got a third new ones. Because you lose about a third every year. And you just can't keep them through attrition and so on and so forth. Now, I'm telling you all this to explain my own personal reason why I fell in love with Jesus totally, and what my only life right now, is whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none that I desire on earth but you. Father, Son. So there's no one in heaven except God, and there's no one on earth except Jesus Christ in the hearts of Christians. I knew there were Christians, but I just couldn't change myself. I like just doing things the way I did them, always did them. So that day it shocked people, and only two left. The other 120 so stayed, and David Halverson was there, and lots of people that are here were there. But anyway, that was kind of like a turning point in my life, and I realized on May 12th, Mount St. Helens blew up. And people said, huh, superficial. It's just the mountain has blown up, but it's done that before. This is a pretty dramatic one, but don't worry about it. So we tried not to worry about it. The next week, the 18th of May, I remember it, the whole side of the mountain completely collapsed because it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 Richter on the Richter scale. And the seismographers were measuring the mountain and say, this one's going to be a big one. Nah, not so, especially Harry Truman. Harry Truman lived on that mountain. And he has said, we've seen this before. And look at my cabin. It's totally in good shape. So, you know, the guy had been there a long time. Today he is buried in 12 feet of ash. So that probably wasn't a good idea. But when the whole thing happened, we had 11 other ministers in the city. In this whole area, we used to meet together every week. And none of them were really Christian at all. None of them. And I knew that, and I used to expose them every week because I was an intellectual Christian, but not a personal. It had nothing to do with me personally. It's just kind of intellectually. This is the answer. You're wrong. And so on. So they despised me and hated me. But when I said I'm going to leave, I'm not going to be Lutheran anymore, that's because of what God said that day out loud. My church shall not be built on sand. Wow, I was inside the Lutheran church and I always thought the church was half sinners and half saints. I always thought, I didn't even know that scripture, but I always thought that. There are a lot of Christians that are wicked, hypocrites, liars, and so on and so forth. I was. And so I said, God, could you give me another sign that I'm to leave? Because I don't know if this is me or you or the devil or whatever. Could you give me another thing if I'm to leave? Because I have my retirement in this outfit. And I don't want to lose all my retirement. Because I think as a minister, you put in one third and they put in two thirds. So you had a lot built up. Every one of those ministers, this is the literal truth, millionaires. And they have been for 20, 30 years. And they retired early on. And I thought to myself, how can they be a Christian? I mean, I was a critical person, but just from a kind of head point of view. How can they be Christian? The guy lives on a lake, and he goes fishing every day and so on and so forth. Because he's a millionaire now, and I'm still making, you know, peanuts. So they're smart. I was stupid. Because I could be a millionaire. Now, ministers don't make a lot, but the way the mainline churches did it back in the 30s, they decided, let's capture all the Episcopal churches, the Presbyterian churches, blah, 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 and take it away from the lay people so that the ministers now have greater control. So they made it where you didn't own the land and the building that was on it, but you were reduced. You didn't have the power. You didn't have the power you once had. So on that point, I said, God, couldn't you just give me another one? Because this, I don't know if this is you or me, and I'm an idiot. So kind of make it clear. The next one was later. And this one said, Revelation 18:4. Well, that's come out from the midst of her. The one I'm just reading. Come out from the midst of her, my people, lest you partake of her, first of all, her sins and her plagues. In other words, after she sinned, I'm going to plague her. Well, I thought that was not a really good verse. Even though I didn't believe in all of it. I actually was a minister. It's my profession. Anyway. So, by studying all that, I began to understand what I'm reading today out of the 25th chapter of Matthew, that you have to be a born-again Christian, chair 4, and also chair 5. You have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't want that. I didn't want to be Jesus' disciple. I'm not against him, but I didn't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be serious. I like just, you know, doing my thing. As a matter of fact, ministers, you know, they aren't paid a lot, but it's a kind of easy job. It is easy. You just go and give a 20-minute thing every Sunday. A piece of cake. And then you get paid and you can play tennis and read books and whatever you want to do. For the rest of the week, for just 1 hour like that, that's not a bad deal. So, and I was open about it. I mean, I didn't hide it. I didn't hide it from Peggy, who was a nice person. I didn't hide it from her. Why'd you do that? I don't know. Because I was arrogant. Blah, blah, blah. I was a pagan. I was a heathen. And so when I sit up in the church, I said that. I'm a total pagan, heathen, liar, you know, whatever. I do all that stuff. And I do it when you're not looking, so you don't catch me. But I'm clever enough to know most of you don't really care. And so, you know. And I even have the people stand on their chairs this Sunday that I announced that. And nobody stood up. And I'd been there for a while, so I kind of knew that there were probably no real Christians there. They were just social people. It was just a kind of a social club or whatever. I'm not saying none of them were. I'm just saying I didn't think any of them were serious about Jesus. I certainly wasn't. I had all that sophisticated background. And I didn't want to lose that. Keep that going. So that, when Mount St. Helens blew up like that, its effects are still, even now, especially in Russia, where a lot of it blew, a lot of it just blew that direction, and had a big impact on the world. There's a lot of ash was thrown off by that. So when I said after I had the second one, it said, come out from the midst of her, you know, come away. Don't kill her or hurt her. Just if they're not real Christians, just pull away. I didn't want to pull away, really. But I just wanted to keep my distance and keep getting paid. Because you don't make a lot, but you can save a ton. I've never had a debt in my life, ever. Ever. At any time. So, you know, you can save at least one third of your money that way. So I was a stingy person that just looked out for number one. And that's what I've been taught in school. Everything is dog eat dog and so on. So Peggy was a fool to marry me. Can y'all see that? So she was a fool to marry me because I'm a sinner. And if she would say, well, do you love me? No. It was like, that's a 2-second answer. No. Well, don't you sometimes? No. What's your next question? It's like, I didn't have any sympathy. I'm cold. I don't have any warmth in me. I don't have any love in me. I don't have any anything. I'm just what I am. That's the way it is. So anyway, so reading these scriptures, when it says that these two virgins, they're both virgin, and they're both in the church, and if somebody said, are you a Christian? I don't know how I would answer it, because I might say, probably not. As a matter of fact, one day God asked me, why are you not happy? This was on 820. I was going around 820, and I pulled the piece of paper down off of my visor, and I started to write that down. Like, what a question to ask me. Why wouldn't I be happy? I have faith for eternity, and I sin all the way there, and so I'm the best of both worlds. How could I be unhappy when I can sin all I want and then go to heaven because of my faith? Now, that's the way I understood it. It's not the truth, but that's the way I understood it. So I thought, why would you be a serious Christian with you let everything go in this world so that you end up where I am now, which is, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth that I desire beside thee. And that's the truth. I don't have any life. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, our own personal testimony, and because we love not our lives even to the death. And so at this point, when that thing blew up, I went and told the 11 ministers that I met with, by the way, I'm leaving. What? They began to swear at me, literally. Swear at me for 45 minutes. And I just kept smiling because why don't you ask me why I'm leaving? Because they didn't want to hear what I had to say. Because even though I was not personally related to Jesus, I believed in him. I wasn't against him. I was totally for him. He had nice ideas and so on and so forth. I just didn't want to do them. I didn't want them at all. So that was my story. Now, what happened then is, as everybody sorted out, you know, where they're going to go, I had that 120 people that were left behind in the Lutheran church. And I said, you know, if you want to, you can hang with me, but it'll be hell. Because I was blunt. It'll be hell to pay. I don't think you want to. I wouldn't if I were you. So I recommend really pray. And, you know, don't be a lukewarm. Go all the way. And if he tells you to stay in the boat, don't get out of the boat and walk on water, and then Jesus have to dish you out of the water. So people prayed, and they stayed with me because Harold Taft, the weatherman, Harold Taft was the weatherman. He was in the back of the church because he always liked to play his trumpet. And so every Sunday he played his trumpet, and he was totally happy. And he had a daughter that was died, and I did her funeral and so on. So he had a lot of ties to that church. And so he said, well, I don't know about the rest of you. Pastor Jim here, he's got a problem. I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to stay with him. And I don't know if you appreciate this, but he did write a book about weather. I think it was called All I Know About Weather. And you opened it up and it was just blank page after blank page. So that was part of Harold. So we had a good time. Now, but the whole point of my life was just me being happy. I didn't care about Peggy at all. I didn't care what she wanted or what she cried or what she did. I'm not moved by it. It doesn't move me at all. And so I said, Peg, you know, you're wishing I would be better. How's your list going? You got a list on all the things I haven't done? And so on. I mocked her and so on and so forth. Not because I was mean. I was just factual. I'm not changeable. I can't be changed. It's impossible. I'm not in love with Jesus. I'm not in love with anything. Just want to be great and famous and so on and so forth. Awesome person. How many of you are like me? How many of you are like me? 1, 2, 3, 4. Any more? 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. You know liars burn in hell. No, I hope you're all passionate. I hope you're all wise virgins. Here's the difference between the wise and the foolish. So let's read this. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So the foolish ones, chair four. They were in chair four. They were born again. They were virgin. They didn't belong to the world. They belonged to Jesus. But their lives betrayed that because they were constantly into all the stuff the world's into. Lots of Christians are like that. Probably the vast majority of Christians are not in love with Jesus. But I wouldn't know that because I wasn't. And so I didn't really know where people were. But then I read this and it startled me. I didn't tell you about the third scripture that he gave to me. I'll tell you that in a second. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So there's the difference. If you're a wise virgin, you not only have your vessel, you are the vessel. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. There's a burning in you to go all the way with Jesus and not turn back to the death. It has to be to the death. That your life is just his life. And he can tell you to do anything and you'll do it without pride, without anything. You just do it because Jesus said, I own you. I bought you. I purchased you. So I want you to be 100% Christian and don't worry about the world. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Well, that didn't appeal to me. But when all these things began to happen in 1980, it changed my life completely. Because the first word was, you shall not build my church on sand. And I knew exactly, it didn't even take me a second to realize he was telling me, leave the Lutheran church with all of the money that has been gathered and so on. Leave it. Because when you walk out, you have to give up all that. So you have nothing. Leave it. Just like that. And go out in search of me. So I decided, yeah, let's do it. I didn't check with Peggy. I didn't check with anybody. I just said, I'm leaving. And so I left and that was it. You had 120 people to figure out where they're going to go. But supernaturally, God, I say now looking back, supernaturally, God had everything prepared. It was unbelievable. And I didn't even believe in such things. I mean, I believe they happened, but I don't know. It just didn't seem to fit me. It's like, well, that's good, but I don't know if it's real or not. This was at the time a lot of people were, David Halverson, for example, was up in Oklahoma studying there with Bobby Yandian and so on and so forth. And, you know, lots of people were hunting for God at that time. The Jesus movement was going on, the Flower Children. This was all going on in those years. And so there's something in me that wanted to be a Christian, but not psychologically. I mean, I didn't want to be a Christian psychologically. But I just thought, well, if you're a Christian, you ought to be all the way. How can you have a halfway? You're gonna go all the way, then to the death. That's it. And I always believed people were wrong who only went halfway. It's like, go all the way. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all your strength. Your neighbor as yourself, just exactly as you love you. Don't worry about love. God takes care of you. He'll take care of you. You don't have to ask him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. He'll give you everything else. He doesn't say you'll earn it. He just says, I'll give it to you. Well, that's what I've found. That's exactly what I've found. So I was like these virgins, the wise ones, that said, I'm leaving everything to follow Jesus. And that while the bridegroom slept, bridegroom tarried, he was late, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, if you read the whole scripture, you'll realize that the bridegroom and the bride are big. It's the first thing that God ever created is marriage. First thing, Adam and Eve. Second thing, that's why Jesus came back. And it said they were each in tents. And the one bridegroom far away, he began coming and he sent his friend of the bridegroom, John the Baptist, somebody, to come and find the bride. So he headed in our direction and he said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come ye out. So leave your chamber. He left his chamber. Now he's coming to meet you. Meet him there. The whole purpose of God in creation was to marry his people. God and Israel, Jesus and his bride, the Lamb and his bride. That's the whole purpose of the Bible. It's not cyclical. It doesn't have, you know, the same thing over and over again, the Groundhog Day. No, this one is always toward an end, and we haven't even seen the end yet. So that's why this year I'm going to tell you everything that's coming between now and the end, to, so that you know exactly and won't get mixed up that that's out of order or this one belongs over here. And you'll be shocked, you'll be surprised, because it's a different world than you're used to now. You'll, as soon as Jesus comes back the second time, you will never be on earth again. You'll never be here. As soon as he comes, you'll be in the mid-heavens. You'll be up there somewhere. And you will not be back here. God in heaven above, seventh heaven, the mid-heavens where the Satan used to rule and reign, and he is the god of the air. He is the prince of the air. All this is in the scriptures. And then we will be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel, not the ones that became Christian over the last 2,000 years. Those Jewish people will be up in heaven because they accepted Yeshua HaMashiach and now sing, "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai." So that Jewish and Gentile religion upstairs in the heavens, that will be forever, and you'll never go back. Never at any time until there's a new heaven and a new earth. So into eternity. You'd have to be into eternity to understand this. So these virgins had looked their whole lives into marrying Jesus, even the foolish ones, but they never made preparation. They weren't prepared. And when he came back, the bride hath not made herself ready. She just wasn't. That is her whole goal in life. It is now, but it wasn't for so long. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." So then all those virgins, 10, arose, trimmed their lamps. They all had lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Let's say they had enough for an hour and a half or 2 hours, let's say. They had enough for their lamp to go for a couple hours, whatever lamps hold out for. But they didn't have enough to last through the night in case he was a long way off, because he tarried. And so they didn't know what he was doing. And they didn't know when they'd get there. So the wise then listened to the foolish saying, "Give us some of your oil. You have plenty of oil." But the foolish had a great idea, since you guys collected all this stuff and have it your vessels inside of you, share it. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." So go into the shambles in town, and you can buy this oil. You can buy this oil. So while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, when I first read that, that kind of shocked me. Wow, that's not fair, because they were Christian. They're Christians. Okay, so what? There's sin in the church. There's sin in every church. I mean, there are sinners in our church. You mostly see them in the back row. No, just kidding. So what's a sinner? Just somebody that is a Christian but still sins. Well, we all have. Are you aware of that? Every Christian sins. We like to think we've advanced way beyond that, but not true. And so on. So when I read that in the Bible, it was in the Bible, I read it. And it said, this was the third scripture he gave me in the fall. That was right away. Those two signs were right away. And I knew from the first one, don't build God's house on sand. Don't stay inside the Lutheran church. Get out. It's the biggest Protestant denomination in the world. Here we think Baptists, but the rest of the world is not so. So it's huge. Anyway, but nobody goes to church in those German or Scandinavian or all over, because they got missions everywhere. And so a lot of those pastors are not even believers. They're just like I was, completely worldly, completely 100% worldly. But they carry on. They just kept doing the outward ceremonies. People paid them for it. And it's great. It's a good deal. So, here's what happened. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. So the marriage supper of the Lamb is the biggest, happiest thing in the whole New Testament. If you want to read about happy is the one who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, these are the ones that are going up in the mid-heavens with Jesus. And I don't want to say they won't be joined by others. I can't say that. It just doesn't say. It's not, at least it's not clear to me. So they're waiting to get into the 1,000-year reign with Jesus. As soon as he comes back, he'll dispatch of the false prophet and the beast, dispatch of them right away, toss them into the lake of fire. That's the end of them. But they'll still be alive. They're going to be alive forever and ever and ever. And until the great white throne judgment, when they'll be judged. And they'll be before the throne of God forever in heaven. So there's a lot to happen before then. So this group that Jesus has, the foolish ones, are not ready. And so they come and they answer and saying, afterward came also the other virgins, 5, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. What's interesting about that? Lord, Lord, open to us. What's interesting about that? The Lord. You know, there's a scripture that says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet not do what I say? That's something I'd never done. I'd never done that. I've never been good. I cannot think of a time in my life where I ever thought to myself, you're a good person. That is impossible for me. I always know I've had devious, hidden agendas, all working for me. There's no mixture in me at all. I was all the way for Satan. I didn't believe in Satan, but the idea that there is a Satan, I didn't think about him. I just wanted to do my own thing. That's all. I just wanted to do my own thing. Now, is there anyone? No, don't answer that. So by doing that, they arrived and they said, Lord, Lord, what should they have said? What should they have said? Savior, Savior. He might have saved them because they addressed him as Lord and they did not do what he said. They were not his disciples. They were not his lovers. They were not in love with him intimately. They didn't make that their whole life. So, chair 6. He's only coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without stain, without anything impure in them. And now, here he's saying, these will be my first fruits. I'm the first fruits from the dead. I came out from the realm of the dead, and I'm the first fruits, and you will be my first fruits. So he is the one that brings you out as his first fruits real Christians who got all the way with God. Now you think, well, there aren't any. Yes, there are. There are lots. And it's powerful. And you realize you don't even know how many there are because God judges by the heart. No human being can ever judge anybody by the heart. We don't even know your heart. You don't even know where it is. So the heart is what? It's your bowels of mercy, deep down inside. And when I met Jesus, that's what I ran into, is the bowels of mercy. Another whole story, but I realized this is the one that loves me just as I am. Does that make sense? This is the one that loves me, not any other gods, not any other, you know, philosophies or whatever. This is the one that loves me personally, and for some reason I didn't believe it. But one day I did, and all of a sudden it changed my life forever. I want to be in line with people that are flaky, meaning a Christian who totally sold out for Jesus, wants to, you know, perish and so on and so forth. It's like, that's the group I want to be part of. That's the decision I made. Yes, I don't mind dying. I don't care. I'm done with this world. I'm already finished with this world. I don't care what anyone else does. I don't need anybody to encourage me. Just do whatever you do. And whatever you do is fine with me because I'm totally in love with Jesus. Can I say that about everybody here? No, I can't. Because a lot of you are psychological. You're deeply into yourself. When you start with self, you end up with self. When you start with self, you end up with self. And one thing you cannot do, one thing you cannot do is teach somebody who has another agenda. They have something else going for them. They're out for themselves and they're also out for others. That doesn't work. With God, he only wants pure wheat in his church. And that one stumped me. Because when God gave me the third one in the fall, didn't know exactly the day, but I began going around to ministers that I knew throughout the United States. And we were in Rhode Island, where Peggy's from. And I spoke to her minister. And as I spoke, he said, well, we all have, you know, problems like you had and so on and so forth. And I said, no, I'm not there anymore. I'm leaving forever the Lutheran church, so I'm not going to be part of it. And I still hadn't decided without that third word. The minute I read that third word, this is what it said. And the field is the world. And the field is the world. I had never read that scripture before. It's like, it's right there. It says world. Why did you read it as the field is the church? Because I'd been taught that my whole life. That the church is polluted. No pure wheat. In other words, the goal of the church is not to produce chair six. The whole goal of the church is to just reproduce number four. That's all. You're a Christian. You believe in Jesus. And I did. But it was purely intellectual. It wasn't personal. It was purely with an out of relationship to him at all. Now I spend at least 5 hours every day in prayer, in praise, in confession of sins, and rejoicing and so on, just with Jesus. No hurried time. And I think that's one of the problems with the ministry today. Ministers are too busy. They're distracted by all the stuff they have to do. And I think that's evil. I think Jesus, even though he was busy, he always took time to meet a woman with an issue of blood, or always took time to do anything, because he knew. If you're a man of God, how can you not hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you? If you're a sheep of his, one of his sheep, then you should hear his voice, and you'll know his voice. That is now my entire life. So here's what happened. This group, the foolish virgins, which will not be in heaven with us, they're not going to go there. But he answered and said,
Truly I say to you, I do not know you. I don't know you. Wow, that's powerful. Jesus said to these lukewarm Christians, these Christians that are compromised, carnal, confused, and so on, they just said to him, I don't know you. Because you said, Lord, Lord. It would have been better if you'd said Savior, because at least I could forgive you. But you're not, you say you're chair four, so you didn't mention that because you already thought you have that. You already thought in chair four, I'm already there. So what he's saying is you used the wrong word. So he didn't punish them, because after all, God uses his word like a hammer to beat out everything in you that's of this world. How many are not quite done with this world? You're just not quite done. You still rely on this and you still depend on that and so on. You still want things that, you know, worldly people want. And they don't just come to you supernaturally. You actually believe, you know, I'm fine. I'm a Christian. So those things happen. But, you know, the truth is, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll give you everything. He'll just give it to you. There's not, you don't earn it. It's so wonderful. It's unbelievably wonderful. And that's who I am. And I'm ready to die. I don't care about death. I gave that up long, long ago. Because I'm happy to be here, but I'm happy to go home, be with Jesus. Same thing. But listen to his response here. I do not know you. I don't know you. He's saying that to their response. Watch, last verse. Therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You do not know the day or the hour. So how far are we away from the 1260 days when the Antichrist names himself in the temple, which isn't built right now, the temple in Jerusalem, where they'll actually be doing animal sacrifices from that moment on. Just the way it used to be. Because that's in the scriptures. If you have a sin, you have to have a lamb or a goat or a bull, or you have to have something. And so that proviso that Jesus has made for them is if you sin, you need mercy. And the mercy of the Lord is everlasting. I mean, it's just something that goes on and on and on. So God will forgive any sinner. If you're a sinner, he'll forgive the sin. But he doesn't want you to walk in it any longer. Make no provision. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't make any. That's powerful. That's powerful. That could cramp your style if you're trying to do both. Because you're often, maybe more than the other, you're more often thinking about yourself all the time, all the time, all the time. And you're seldom thinking of, I wish I could go home and read the Bible, or I wish I could go home and pray for the sick, and so on. It's seldom. Now, people stay busy as though that'll cover it. And so you have to be careful. He reads your heart. He knows your heart. He knows where your heart is. I don't know where my heart is. I don't know where. But I know one. I love Jesus, period, to the death. You do not know when the Son of Man is going to come. I'll come like a thief in the night. When you least expect it, I'll show up. Well, how many are expecting him today? Nobody. Okay. Well, you're right. Because he's not coming today because the temple isn't there. So whatever that means, I don't know what it means, but whatever it means, it sounds like that temple that the Jewish people are building, and I've seen the vestment of the high priest. I've seen the powder that they mix for the incense altar. I've seen the candelabra. I've seen lots of things in that new temple. But I don't know whether it's scriptural or not. but they've studied it night and day. So they're going to build that thing, and that guy is going to sit in there and say, the Jesus you're looking for, it's me. And the false prophet will be doing signs and wonders in the name to deceive many. And if the time weren't shortened, you even would fall for it. Wow, did you see that? You know, and people are going to be drawn away. I'm telling you, you're coming into a very difficult time right now. And if you think that Trump is going to make America great again, I'm sure he'll do something. But I don't know about all that. I don't know about doing away with Al-Qaeda. I don't know about all that. I'm okay with it. It's great. But there's going to be another enemy. Get rid of that one. There'll be another one. You're not going to get rid of the wrath that's coming on this world. And as soon as Jesus comes back, marries his bride, takes her up into heaven, then he's going to start ruling right there. Right there. He's going to start ruling. Because his wife is at his side. She sits on the throne. And under the new heaven and the new earth, we'll all be on the same throne up in the highest heaven. We're not right now. So God is arranging everything to fit his own program. He has never been wrong. He's never been wrong. Amen. One of the things that impressed me with Christianity is it's not only lasted so long, but it's still vigorous. I don't care where you go in the world. It's attractive. It works. It really makes a difference in family. It makes a difference in how you raise your kids. How you are at work. I think God only wants people that are lovers, that love the neighbor and love God with everything. And that's what he wants. So these foolish virgins, they're pretending like they're virgin because they're chair four. See, chair four, it's a process. It's not a one-time event. Chair four, I've done it. I've done it. I'm a Christian. No, you're not. Just because you were baptized, if you're Catholic or Protestant of some sort, especially in the mainline churches, they just baptize. You were baptized? Okay, you're in. You're in. You're all set. And then they live their worldly lives. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But God, I believe, picked me from the before I was born. I believe that. Totally now. But I believe he said, I want you to die for me. I want you to live for me. And I want you to die for me. Okay. Praise the Lord. It's not a big thing for me. It's not huge for me. It's just part of the thing. That's the territory. So I'm excited about dying for Jesus. I don't care if I live or not, but I'd just like to have a few more years.
Yes.
So that I could finish up all the things that I didn't finish up. But really, it doesn't matter. How many know that people are sinners? Even Christians. But it isn't that they're not saints. They're saints who still sin. Because until that trumpet blows and Jesus comes back, you will have the body and the soul you still have right now. You have a new heart. You don't have a new soul. And you don't have a new body. Because that soul you have to get every day. Born of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Every day, emptied of yourself. Emptied of yourself. Emptied of yourself. And led by the Spirit. If you're not led by the Spirit, others can't be born. When men, this means not lukewarm Christians, when men see your good works, men of the world, see your good works, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, it doesn't matter. When they see that, they'll know, Jackie, you're a Christian. And they see it. And they've watched you at work and they've seen stuff and they come up to you and say, you're a Christian, aren't you? When that happens, they'll glorify your Father. Not their Buddhist thing or Hindu thing or Muslim thing or whatever. Those things are nothing, nothing, nothing. Jesus skipped all of those things when he began his ministry, not on conscience, not on law. Go straight for the kingdom. And that kingdom is what he started with and what he ended with 40 days after his resurrection. He taught the kingdom of God. Powerful. That's powerful. So he's coming back as a king. Priest king. A righteous king. Never had one of those. We've never had a righteous king before. So he is my lover. I love him totally. And I want everyone here to be wise virgins. I want that. Can I do it? No. I can't do it. Because I can't sleep for you and I can't help you to be foolish. But your vessel needs to be filled every day, speaking in tongues, glorifying him, you know, just spending all your days for him. I don't mean you don't get to eat and so on. I'm just talking about literally you're just living to please Jesus and love everybody you meet. Whoever you meet, they're ones for whom Jesus died. And I believe that after he comes again, we'll be up in the mid-heavens. But I believe others could be added from the lowest level. The Jews, the ones that don't believe in eternity, they're not wanting a relationship with God. They just want their land. They just want things to be Jews first. And they will be preeminent on this earth, the Jewish people. Preeminent. But they'll be on the earth. They won't be born again. They won't have just faith alone. But some could, even now, repent. So you've got time right now. Just witness to anybody. Tell them about Jesus. The harvest is ripe. You can't say millennials can't hear this. They can. There is no group that's outside of God's love, that's outside of his mercy. You can't say it. Right now, it's still the mercy. This is an age of mercy and power. Still. But when Jesus comes back again, it won't be that. It'll be then justice. The wicked will be under his wrath and the righteous will be lifted up. But how God decides, it's up to you. Do you know that you could at any time plead with God on behalf of somebody, as I do. Plead with God. Have mercy on so-and-so. And God will hear you. Because he's a merciful God. I'll close with this. Exodus 33:19. This is where he said, after giving the law, however, proviso, however, if I want to, I reserve to myself by a royal prerogative right. I've never vested this in anybody, and I never will. I'll forgive any sinner that I choose. If I want to show mercy, I will. And if I want to show favor, I will. So you can't prevent God from hearing your prayers. That's what will make the difference in these last days. Pray for your neighbors. If you pray for them, it'll purify you. If you pray for them, it'll purify you. I've seen so many people in Dallas-Fort Worth. After their parents are dead, I've told them, go back, find your parents' grave, stand over the grave, and confess your sins to them, and then preach them the gospel. I don't know what it does, but I know it'll do good for you. Just dozens and dozens and dozens have done that, changed their life. Because most people today live out of their past. They live out of what they learned as a child, like me. You don't know anything. You're ignorant. You're completely ignorant. And you have to know what the Bible says about everything. Because there's nothing left out. There's nothing left out. So, the best is yet to come. I wish, I pray, that all of you would be part of the wise virgins who are not only have your lamp, because that's only a few hours or something, but to have your vessel filled so that you can go on and on however long it takes, because he's delaying. And he said, if I didn't delay, a lot of you would be falling into sin. So I'm going to delay right at the end before he comes back. He could come back right now. He won't. He's waiting for things to be just as he said they were. And everything is dated in the Bible. It'll say, these things only take place at the very end. These things take place here. And he names it. So there's a few things that are left. You have to know those few things that Jesus is doing it. I pray that someone today would say, let me be that one. I want to be, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be like you or no good. I want to be like you when you saw the Lord speaking to you say, my church shall not be built on sand. Come out from the midst of her, my people, lest you partake of her sins and her plagues. But I want you to also be that the world is the field. It's God's field. This whole world is God's field. I don't care about the devil of, you know, what power he has here. He is not in charge. The devil is just God's devil. He could eliminate him in a second. But he's there not to hurt you at all. He's not there to hurt you. You don't have to be afraid of him. He has no power whatsoever. One time the people said to him, hey, you know, here's the people, they're trying to find out what's going on. He said, don't worry, the devil has nothing on me. Doesn't have a thing on me. When you're pure, when you're in love, God knows. He knows this person is pure, meaning they sin. But they confess their sins immediately, immediately. Used to be when Peggy would mention something, it'd be maybe 2-3 years, you know, before I'd respond to that. Well, you know, a few years ago you said that. Haven't done it, but I'm going to do it now. Because I was stubborn. You all know what stubborn is? Stiff neck, you know, bad. I don't have any apologies for it. That's what I was, but I'm not that anymore. I've been born again, chair 4 and chair 5. I want to go through the fire, and I will. I'm certain that I will. Because if you live a godly life, you'll be persecuted. So what? Just face the music. Unless you suffer with him, you will not be glorified with him. What he said. So I want to suffer. Amen? How many want to suffer? Not the young people. I'm not talking about young people. I'm just adults. How many want to follow all the way to Jesus? That's why you should be here. Is I want to go all the way. And it's a powerful thing. So I don't believe we've seen anything yet. I believe we're about to see powerful things this year. Now, right now. Remember I said that some years ago? I was wrong. But this year, something is going to happen. Amen. All right. Bobby.